to CSR, Tear Creek Student Radio. Your host today are Steven and
Oliver.
We interviewed our teacher, Mr. Wattis, about when he hiked the Appalachian Trail. We did this because we were curious and we wanted to know more about the experience he had walking the trail.
We wondered how long it took Mr. Wadness to finish the whole Appalachian Trail. He answered.
It took me 7 months and 3 days. 220 days, I think.
We were curious about what he called himself on the trail. He replied.
So, when you're hiking the Appalachian Trail, everybody has what they call a trail name. And sometimes the trail name is given to them while they're hiking the trail. Sometimes they get it beforehand, like me. About a month before I started hiking, I have a Hebrew name, and my Hebrew name is Shalom. And not only does Shalom mean hello and goodbye, but it also means peace. And just as I'm sitting in my car on Route 9 in Framingham, the word, it just came to me, Peace Walker. And that became my trail name, because I really wanted to walk with God in peace as I hiked the trail, and to hear God's voice kind of thing. And so that's how I got my trail name. And everybody, there were three boys that I met, the three last southbounders of the year I hiked. One boy was trail named the Beastmaster. And that is because he worked at a zoo in Ohio. And that makes sense. So he was like a master of the beasts of the zoo. Another guy's name was Pigpen, because he smelt so much and he was always a mess. And so he got his name. And the last friend that they had was called Speed Walker, or Speed Master, or Speed... something like that, because he was always went ahead of his friends and he didn't slow up for them. There are thousands and thousands of different trail names. But depending on what you do in your life or what you might have on, would depend on what the trail name you might have. The one man that I met on the Appalachian Trail, he was blind and he was hiking with a seeing eye dog. And his seeing eye dog's trail name was Orient. And so he called himself the Orient Express, because he actually had to hold on to Orients. They have a special collar thing that you hold on when you're following a seeing eye dog. But he hiked the whole Appalachian Trail, and he wrote a book called Blind Courage, and he wrote a little bit in my book as well.
We questioned how many stops he took during the trip. He explained.
When you're hiking, you have to stop. Usually when you're hiking and you're hiking the mountains every day, you pretty much stop probably about every hour, even to an hour and a half, because you stop to get some more water. Especially if you get to the top of a mountain, you might end up wanting to just sort of take a look around. But I would try to get to the shelter either by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, sometimes 5. But as the winter time came in, I did not realize that the days would keep getting shorter. I mean, I know days get shorter in the wintertime. So if I began to hike longer as I got in shape. So I think I counted about 100 nights. At least I actually did night hiking. So I'd have to hike into the dark and have to have a headlamp on. The first night hike was in Massachusetts. And sometimes, I remember one night I hiked till about 1 o'clock in the morning to be able to get to this shelter I wanted to get to. And it's really cool hiking at night, except when the animals start stalking you and you know they're following you and you don't know if they're going to attack you or something like that. Rawr.
Our group wondered what he ate on the trail. He remarked...
Obviously, when you have a backpack and you're hiking for 10 days, you just can't take like 2 loaves of bread, because 2 loaves of bread take up so much room. So if you want bread, you have to take stuff like English muffins or bagels, because even if they get squished in your backpack, they don't really get squished. In the morning, I really never cooked in the morning, so I did not do oatmeal, which some people do, because I thought that took time. So basically, in the morning, I would have a granola bar. And then maybe I would have kind of a shake that I brought, some kind of powdered stuff in my... And I would also have some GORP. Now, if you don't know what GORP is granola, oatmeal, and raisins, and peanuts. But you never put oatmeal in there. But basically, you use peanuts and M&Ms and other kinds of dried fruit in there. And that is a great source of protein. If I got hungry as I was hiking, I'd have beef jerky, which I did bring, and I bought a lot, and I sent them off in packages to the mail drops that the little towns that I went through. At lunchtime, I'd probably have a bagel with peanut butter and jelly and some more gorp, beef jerky. If in a trail town, if I got any kind of vegetables, I would eat those up at the beginning because they weighed a lot, and I have those. Cheese. Yeah, you could buy a brick of cheese, and it would even last a week, and you could use the cheese. And at nighttime, everyone always cooks, which I did, and I always cooked Annie's meals, which like a noodle dinner or maybe mac and cheese, some spaghetti. I dehydrated about over 100 pounds of vegetables, and I would put that into my meal, whatever it was. I also carried a lot of instant potato, and I'd put some instant potato if I made like a soup, because you never want to boil water, like make macaroni and then dump the hot water out, because you always want to, your body, it always needs a ton of water when you're hiking, and you always want more calories. So I'd put instant potato almost into everything, and we just add more carbohydrates. So I think that was about what I ate.
We asked him how long it took for him to prepare for the Appalachian Trail. He informed us.
That is a great question. I had wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail for over 10 years. When I drove under the Appalachian Trail in western Massachusetts, I felt God sort of just speak to my heart that I should be hiking the Appalachian Trail, and it didn't happen until 10 years later. And I didn't really decide it until January of the year before I was going to hike. I was teaching school in Worcester, Massachusetts. And after that day that I decided in January, I had already bought some equipment, and I was always thinking maybe someday I'll hike the Appalachian Trail. But then I began to hike. I began to buy the rest of the stuff. I began to dehydrate the food. I began to put all the mail drops, because you got to mail your food off ahead of you so that it doesn't, you know, sometimes you get to a trail town, there might not be a lot of food. So you end up, I had about 25 different mail drops. So these little towns that are on the way, you went and picked up food from the post office, and they held the food for you, or their box for you until you got there. And so there's a lot of preparation. And then I left. I was going to start on July 4th, but I really started July 3rd. But for some reason, the weather was bad, and I couldn't make it up the mountain. So I had to come down Mount Katahdin, the highest mountain in Maine. And then I started July 5th. And a lot of preparation.
Asked him where the trail took him through and where he started and ended. He shared.
So the trail goes through 14 states. I was what you would be called a southbounder, meaning I started up in Maine, the highest mountain in Maine, Mount Katahdin, and I went all the way down to Springer Mountain in Georgia. Only about 10% of the people go southbound. 90% of the people go northbound because they follow spring, summer, fall. I went and had to start in the beginning of the summer, in beginning of July, and I didn't finish until February 8th. But I went through, and the trail is today is about 2,185 miles long.
I asked him where he got the idea of walking the trail. He commented,
"Well, I always loved hiking from summer camp, and I love the outdoors. And I always did a lot of day hiking, but I'd never done, before I hiked the Appalachian Trail, I only did 2 backpacking weekends. I never did a lot of hiking, at least as far as having a backpack on. And like I said, when I saw the Appalachian Trail sign out in Western Mass, I just felt that God zapped my heart, and I just wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail and walk with God, and to just see what it's like to hike 2,000 miles.
We were curious if he met anyone on the trail. He articulated.
So, you meet a lot of people on the trail. You know, because I was a southbounder, I pretty much saw almost every northbound hiker who was hiking north, and they would walk by me. I was one of the last southbounders to hike, but every time I met people who I talked to, I took down their names and addresses, and I had a, in my little book, I probably had about close to 300 different names, and I wrote letters to all those people when I was done and mailed them, told them I completed the trail. And some of the people that I met on the trail and are still some of my best friends today. And I mean, there's a lot of people I could talk about, but there are definitely people who I still see every year and visit. And I met them when I hiked the Appalachian Trail. So if you guys ever decide to hike the Appalachian Trail, you'll meet and be friends with people for the rest of your life.
We wondered what season he walked the trail in and what the weather was mostly like. He informed us.
I started the trail on July 5th, so it was the beginning of the summer. And that's bad up in Maine, only because when you're in the Maine woods, there's tons of mosquitoes and black flies. Sometimes if I stopped and met somebody, I wouldn't even be able to stand there and talk to them because the black flies, mosquitoes, because you're sweating, they just surround you and all they're doing is biting you all over your body. And you just have to say hi and then you just have to keep moving because it's like being in a torture chamber. And then I walked all the way from July 5th. By the time I got to Massachusetts, it was like the beginning of September, so all the kids were back at school. And then I pretty much began hiking alone from Massachusetts down to Georgia. And I finally finished in Georgia on February 8th, so I walked through a good part of the wintertime in the southern Appalachian Mountains.
We questioned where he slept on the trail. He told us,
I did carry a tent with me when I hiked the trail, but I would say three quarters of the time I used the shelters. About every 6 to 12 miles, there's a shelter that you can stay at. In the beginning of the summer, though, some of them are pretty crowded, so you have to stay in a tent. And if I got to a mountaintop that I said, man, this is so beautiful, I would just stay there and I would just set up my tent on top of the mountain. Or if I was too tired to get to the shelter, I would just set up my tent right on the Appalachian Trail and just get up early in the morning after I set it up. And so sometimes I was in my tent by a stream or by a pond. And at the beginning, if no one was in the shelter, I would actually set my tent up in the shelter sometimes because the mosquitoes at night sometimes were so bad. They would try to be buzzing in my ear all night long. I couldn't get to sleep.
Curious how many miles he walked on the Appalachian Trail, he mentioned.
The Appalachian Trail is 2,180 miles. So it's over 2,000 miles long. And today, when I hiked the trail, 10% of the people are the only ones who made it. Today, it's a little different. I think people are better in shape and they know more about the trail. And today, about 20 to 25% of the people make it who try to hike it.
We wondered what wildlife he saw on the way. He uttered,
so wild. There's definitely some wildlife. There is bear on the trail. There's moose. I saw a lot of moose up north. Tons of deer. Foxes. In the shelters, there are mice that live in all the shelters. Now, the mice can be a pain in the rear end. Why? Because while you're sleeping in your sleeping bag, sometimes the mice will start to try to crawl on you and even in your sleeping bag because they're living all in this shelter and they're always looking for food. And after the colder weather came, I'm like the only one hiking the Appalachian Trail. And so I'm the only one in the shelter. And so the mice are like, all they want to do is pay their attention to me. So I actually bought sunflower seeds and I'd take a whole handful of them and I would throw them on the other side of the shelter where I would be on one side there. And that way the mice would be all night long trying to pick up the little pieces of sunflower seed and bring them to their shelter or their home so they wouldn't be crawling on me thinking that I was going to have a mouse in my sleeping bag. But also a skunk, the same thing. In a couple of shelters, skunks live right underneath the boards you're sleeping on. And one night when I woke up, a skunk was sitting right on my face. He had crawled up on my sleeping bag, sat on my face, and I sat up and sort of threw him off. And he was standing right there with his tail up, pointing right in my face. And I just say God was very faithful that he did not spray me. But my face did smell skunky for a few days.
Our group was curious about what his favorite part of the trail was. He exclaimed,
well, You know, I do love walking with God in the wilderness. And I think, you know, a lot of people quit the trail because the Appalachian Trail is not like hiking out west where you can see for 50 miles every time you're journeying. You know, you're in the woods all the time. And I love walking in the woods. I don't know. I really enjoyed my favorite. It's hard to say exactly what my favorite time was, but I have to say there was one time where I felt that still small voice say to me, Kenny, I was in a shelter, the highest shelter on the Appalachian Trail, about 5,000 feet, but I'm in the woods. It was raining out like it is today. Not too hard, but just drizzly. But it was all foggy because you're at 5,000 feet, so you're in the clouds. And I heard this, I was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just heard this voice that said, Kenny, stay here. Kenny, stay here. And I stayed all the rest of that day and that night in this shelter. And I got up the next morning. I'm still in the woods, but all the storm had cleared. And the world just looked differently, even in the trees. It took me about a mile to walk out of the end of the trees. And then I was on the summit of this mountain down south. And the summits of the mountain down south are grassy top. They're not rocky top. We come out in Washington. And when I looked around, the whole earth had disappeared, except for a sea of white. And all I could see out of the sea of white were just the mountaintops of the rock of the Great Smoky Mountains and other mountains sticking through the clouds. And I was all alone on top of the world, like you'd be in an airplane above the clouds. And it was so cool.
We wondered if he liked going on the Appalachian Trail, and if he could, would he do it again? He explained,
if you could give me permission right now to hike the Appalachian Trail, I would say yes. And even though I love teaching all of you, well, I could make it a field trip. And we could all hike the Appalachian Trail. And I would take all of you to hike the Appalachian Trail. I mean, there's a family this year who homeschools their kids, and they have 6 kids, and one was like a baby. And the dad and a few other person just helped trade it off, and they hiked the whole Appalachian Trail with kids younger than you. So I think you guys would be able to do it. I would do it again in heartbeat, but you want to know what? There are other trails I would love to do, too. There's the Pacific Crest Trail, and that's 2,600 mile long, and it goes through Washington, Oregon, and California. The Continental Divide Trail is also that long. I want to do that. There's trails everywhere. And as soon as I can, if I could, I would be hiking all the time.
Thank you for your time. In this interview, we learned what it would be like if you were to walk the Appalachian Trail and what it was from the perspective of the Peace Walker and what you would need if you were to walk it. We hope you learned a lot from this interview.
Thanks for listening!